B-Pod Studios.
Hello. It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
What up?
Hello?
It's a bit of a poser, you ask me.
Good morning, everybody. I don't know why I'm even happy, because it's a freaking miserable time. We got a storm coming, and you got no football. Well, no Eagles football.
Yeah.
And, you know, Flyers win. I want Jack Hughes. The kid's good. That's a good thing.
You mean the kid, the goalie?
Yeah, Carter Hart is good. Yeah. I feel awkward with being upset that they won. They get hat tricks twice this week, which is amazing.
JVR
and Couturier last night, which is great.
By the way, first time back-to-back hat tricks since 2002. Mark Recchi and Tom LeClair.
Dude, I would have made that a trivia question.
I tweeted it out already.
No, to me, you could have made that. I don't want to know the answer.
Nah.
I love the hat trick trivia question.
Yeah, you
like
to
do it. I do.
The Andy Delmore one?
Yes, man. Gene Hart used to say it all the time. I feel kind of awkward being unhappy that they won, but I don't want to go through this anymore. I don't want to go through this cycle where they bounce back and like, oh, look at this.
False Messiah.
And they're really not good.
Yeah.
Like, they need help.
See, that's a misnomer, I think. That's a fan thing where they say, oh, they won 4 out of 5. Now the front office thinks they're good. Now, the front office isn't dumb. They're not. They're actually smarter than the fans. And they know what they have, and they know what they need help.
Listen, yeah. I agree with that. Except, I want the kid. And the more games you win, the less likely you're going to get Jack Hughes.
Okay, then you need to send Carter Hart down.
Okay. No problem.
And play Mike McKenna. And then don't complain about getting your ass handed to you 7-2.
And do I complain about that?
No, I'm talking in general. I'm not talking about you.
No, I would do that. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I know enough of the kid that makes me feel good. I think the kid's good. I think the kid's legitimately good and will get better. I think
I think he's legitimate, really good.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and like, he's going to be special.
Right, he's going to get better. I think I'm saying, I think you have your goalie, right?
Yep, you have a future.
So, I got my goalie, and that's great. So, now I go, what do I want? I want the stud, all right? I want a stud, and I don't need to win this year. I'm not going to win this year. And I'm sorry for Coots and Jakey. And
JVR.
You know what? I want to lose, all right? And I know it's antithetical. It's what we argued about with the process. But the only way to get true talent in here is to be bad, not be mediocre.
Yeah, draft at the top of a draft. That's where the best talent is. And there's two guys this year. It's not just Jack Hughes. He's the consensus one, but there's
Kaka.
Yeah, no, he's a good player, Anthony.
He is, but he's not Jack Hughes, though.
Well, he's the second guy. And look, was Patrick Laine Austin Matthews? No. But it doesn't mean he's no good. But you only get an 18.5% chance.
Jack Hughes also is
an American.
Yes.
Right?
It's true. I'm
Florida kid.
Like, I want a face. Not to say the Kaka can't be the face, but more often than not, the Kaka, like, the Russian can be the face. He's a Swede, right?
Kaka?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's, I gotta look
up. What's Kapanen? Sammy's a same.
Is he a Finn?
Might be a Finn.
Yeah. All those
Norwegian. It's a Swede or a Finn, but. Yeah. The idea, usually, historically, by nature, the Russian can be the leader, can be the main guy.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Russian captains, you know.
Well, I'm saying not he could be
he's a Finn, though.
He can be the big time guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Like the Russian.
Yeah, he can be the face of a team.
Like Ovechkin's still the face. He's not the leader, but he's a face. Yeah, agree?
No question.
All right. The Finn is usually not the face.
It's just not their disposition, is what
it is. Teemu Salami?
Salami? Not salami.
I said salami.
I don't think you said salami. I was getting I'm kind of hungry for a sandwich all the time.
They blended in the Teemu and salami.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't really like.
Salami, your ass.
but it's a conundrum because you go, okay, do you want to see guys play well that, you know, like Konechny and Nolan Patrick and those guys? Or do you want to see them not have a good second half of the season so you can get the best chance to draft Jack Hughes? You know, I look across the street and I look across the river and I go, okay, the Sixers, they did it for 4 years perfectly. purposely. Now, it's easier to tank in that sport, Anthony, because there's less guys that play per game. And one player means more in that sport than any other sport. Because you play five guys on the floor, and in basketball, is a control sport, is what I call it. And you can control a game with ball, like a guy can physically hold the ball.
Yeah, but
isolate.
But you're not telling guys to tank. You're just fielding a team, not a good enough team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the point guard is important, but I bring this up for a reason. So it's not just to talk hockey, although it's a nice little
respite
to hockey to open the show. I bring it up as a part of a larger picture. Yesterday, we got a phone call. We're going to play it later on a little bit. Where an Eagles fan, younger guy in his early 30s, talking about his father, who probably was a nasty SOB, right? Like when it comes to sports. Hey, that guy's a bum. He's an old dude. And so the generation and how we are as a sports fan base has altered and changed.
Big time.
And I want to get into this today as a big of a larger subject.
Yeah, it kind of jumps a little bit off the Alshon thing.
And like the older guys hated the process. Like I know, in fact, Andrew, our fine producer, his dad hated the process, right?
Yes, he was completely against it.
And I understand, listen, losing on purpose or setting up your team to lose is really antithetical to sports.
It's a violation, matter of fact.
Right, like you hate it too.
Yeah, I hate the mentality because I can't. You never tell the guys that you're setting out there to play to not perform at their peak.
But you're not doing that. You're not telling guys you're putting inferior talent. Correct.
With hopes of losing. But that it still makes. You see me? I'm squirming right now. Like, that makes me squirm.
I know. Like you're like, hey, don't do it.
Yeah, but it's better for the long-term health
of your franchise.
Okay, I get that, and I know the Sixers did it for 4 years, and I know there was a kid when the tank started that was in high school. He was a freshman, and then it went on for 4 years, and he graduated high school, and he saw Isaiah Cannon, and he saw this crap that the Sixers threw on the floor. They missed. They kicked out a whole generation of fans. You know, there's kids that went through high school that had no team to watch.
If they were in purgatory, that would have been good?
No, it's not the Sixers' fault. It's the league's fault.
Well, I mean,
you have to do that to get better.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You're going to have, you know, it's what it is in sports. You have your upper echelon, you have your mediocre, and you have your very bad.
Yeah, but in that
league, mediocre doesn't do anything for you.
In that league and at that time, you just had to... You had to go through what the Sixers did to be able to get there. That's one approach. Now, I think it's changing a little bit because I think you see these guys with the opt-out of contracts and Paul George and LeBron does it every 2 years and Kawhi's going to be available. And they're starting to make that so, you know, it used to be, hey, you're strapped into a 5-year contract or 6-year contract. It's not happening with star
players. The problem is the star players are moving, but they're all moving together.
Yeah, and they're colluding. So that's
not good.
Yeah, that's not good. And you get these super teams. So the gap between the haves and have-nots.
Makes it worse.
Yeah, well, the gap between the haves and have-nots is even more pronounced. And the sexy markets, the non-sexy markets, have no chance. They don't have a chance.
I mean, New York is a sexy market. It's got no chance.
Yeah, but this offseason, they're going to probably compile a few guys.
Yeah, but they haven't had a chance for... They haven't been good since I was working
there. Well, they had a bunch of boobs running it with Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, but they haven't been good since I was working there in the 90s.
Yeah, but like, look at L.A. I mean, they attract everybody. They're going to attract stars out in L.A. You know, I don't know. But the point is about...
You know, the idea of what our ideals, I-D-E-A-L-S, are as a sports fan.
You and I are in the middle of the gap here. There's a divide between the really old school fans and then the new generation of fans. And I think we're kind of in the middle ground.
I skew more toward the younger generation of fans.
In some aspects, I believe that you do. In some aspects, I believe that you don't. Analytically, no way. You're old school. You'd rather wipe your keister with an analytic sheet.
No, it's just not my religion. There's a difference between utilizing as a tool and a religion.
Yeah, I think it should be a tool too. I agree with you. But there is a divide in how to kind of, you know, I was saying this to you before. This year, there is no doubt in my mind, we gave the Eagles a pass. They got a pass.
Yeah, and a pass...
They got a pass.
I thought we were pretty harsh on them at certain time.
All said and done, Anthony. Alshon got a standing ovation. We gave them a pass.
They won the Super Bowl.
No, they didn't. They won the Super Bowl last year. They didn't win the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's coming up in a couple weeks. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but we gave them a pass. And look, I get why we did it. They were great, and it was tough this year, the injuries and everything that happened. And, you know, Nick Foles had to come in again. I get all that. That's the part of the equation. But the fact of the matter is, if we didn't win a Super Bowl last year, they wouldn't have got a pass this year. That's just the fact. So are we going to be back to normal next year?
Yeah, because you know why? Because they something that hadn't been done in this town in 52 years. Oh, yeah, forever.
I get why. I'm not blaming people for giving the pass. We all kept saying, oh, we're back to normal now because we're being critical. But it all turned out to be baloney. Because when the season ended in the way it
shouldn't
did.
You shouldn't hang these guys up.
I agree. I get that. But are we going to be back to normal next year? Or next year is the excuse going to be, well, we won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Well, it sounds like you wanted more harsh criticism.
I don't have it.
Yesterday with the Alshon stuff. Like, you wanted, you know, there was a party. I read through it.
Mm-hmm.
You were like, why are you getting at the overboard cheer?
That's soft. It was soft.
Yeah, so, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'll say
your ass is soft if you stood up.
I say evolved. You say soft.
Well, look, it may be evolved, and both can be right, but evolved has turned us into being soft. If my dad were alive today, and he saw, he'd go, you got to be effing S-ing me. That's what he would say. You're going to give that guy a standing ovation? When a guy who gets paid to catch that ball, right, catches it all the time.
Let's call a quick TO.
All right.
Let's do a quick TO. And I want this. I want stories of your father. All right. Like, I'm talking to the audience. I want stories of battles with your father. There's a lot of guys that like talk about, like, I heard it yesterday. The guy talks about his father calling guys bums and
fickle. He's fickle.
Yeah. And we'll play it for you. And I want this battle. I'm curious where we are. And if you are a father, not a mother, but if you're a father,
hey, how are you going to hand it down?
You know, what do you feel of it? And go ahead, moms. You can chime in as well. But how do you feel about the climate today? Very interesting.
My dad could just groan through his nose. I knew he was pissed off that he paid for tickets on that night at the game. Like, if they didn't obtain the zone on a power play. And he was pissed. Like, and then the word has been lost in sports, in Philadelphia sports. He's a bum.
Yeah, the bum.
610-632-0975. That is the number. That's an okay guy thing. He's a bum. Okay. 610-632.
Now that guy is a throwback.
Guy. Yeah, he's stuck in a different generation.
He's a throwback. I'm curious. I think it's interesting.
Anthony Gargano, Jason Ortiz on Fanatics.
Let me tell you. Great news, you live downtown or you're headed to a Sixer game or a Flyer game and you want to bet that game before the game starts or get your action in and watch multiple games. That's right. Parks Racing and Casino is launching sports betting at the Turf Club in South Philadelphia, right by the stadium's 700 Packer Avenue. I mean, you could throw a rock and hit Citizens Bank Park. Right there, 700 Packer Avenue. You can't beat it. Parks Racing Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino, also has the beautiful sports book at the casino in Bensalem, where we were last week. And now they are open to the public starting 2 p.m. today at the South Philly Turf Club. In fact, I'll be there from 3 to 5 today, hanging out, talking to everybody at the Turf Club from 3 to 5. Come see me. How great is sports betting in South Philadelphia? Officially launching today, 2 o'clock. Parks really has together with sports betting. Now with 2 locations, and you got to check it out. The Bet Slip Builder app, they created amazing stuff. South Philly Turf Club, sports betting, and Parks Casino. Sportsbook at Parks Casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey,
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
All right, it is 10:25 on this Thursday morning. So, we're getting into the fan base and the generation gap and whether or not there is, the tone is different. And it's basically off of, you know, how we are right now. I like how we accept defeat, how we look at these four teams. Is our tone drastically different?
Could you imagine in 1982 if the Sixers tanked for 4 years?
Well, but they were good in 1982.
I mean, I'm just using that generation, that generational time as a time stamp.
Well, they did.
Not to that extent.
I mean, dude, they traded Charles Barkley for three stiffs, Andrew Lang, Tim Perry, and Jeff Hornacek.
Well, that was just a bad GM move, though. They weren't doing that to get worse on purpose.
Well, it was kind of a tank.
Yeah, it turned out that way.
It was a bad tank. Like, it wasn't even a good tank. It was a tank for bad purposes. Like, you knew the minute you traded Charles, you weren't going to win. So you trade Charles, and it was worse than a tank.
No, I know, but it wasn't done purposely to put an inferior product on the court. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. That wasn't the
that's
motivation.
Worse.
I know, but that's not what we're talking about. What I'm asking you is, how would that generation of fans?
I don't know. I
mean, they would have reacted. Very negative.
Listen, the number. I don't know. I mean, like, but listen, it's smart. It's not about anything other than being smart.
Well, it's a blueprint. It's a way to do it. It's not the only way, because look at a team like Golden State.
Well, it depends on the league, and you know, listen, I mean, everything had to conspire right for Golden State to become Golden State.
Yeah, and everything had to collude right for the Miami Heat to do what they did, because they had Dwayne Wade, but then LeBron and Bosh, and they put together a super team down in sunny Miami in South Beach, because the location's great. I got this tweet I want to read you, and this is to your point. Johnny Cartagena tweets in, and he says, yes, we have evolved. We didn't, quote,
Cartagena.
We didn't eat our young this year. Doesn't make us soft. It means we are appreciative.
Yes.
He says,
I agree
okay.
with Cartagena.
He goes, it's okay to show some gratitude.
Like Cartagena.
We won a freaking Super Bowl.
Yes.
But he plays right into
my
point.
Thank you, Cartagena.
Okay, so but if they didn't win the Super
Bowl. Thank you, Pablo.
If they didn't win the Super Bowl, we would have been outraged by what happened this year. It did change us, and I totally agree. I'm changed, too. That was the white whale I wanted
changed.
To. I have.
I don't know if you're changed.
But we all kept saying this year, when are we going to go back to normal? When can we be critical and all of those things? And we said, okay, we're back there now after that Cowboy loss, right? But we weren't.
Yeah, but what's the rush to get to grow horns again?
There's not a rush. I'm not saying there is.
But it feels like there's a rush. When can we blast these guys again?
What is next year?
My Lord. Why do you want to blast them?
Look, I don't want to. But I will tell you this, that if that was Carson leading that drive and that interception happened, even though it went through Alshon's hands, Carson would have got blamed. But because it was Nick Foles.
Yeah, he would have.
Those two quarterbacks are judged differently.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. But that's wrong, too.
I agree.
But that's wrong. The hypercriticism of Wentz was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. The hypercriticism of Wentz is a real thing. And next year, it's going to be a very
I'm not
thing.
Saying you got to be Pollyanna mm-hmm. and turn into a Fond du Lac fan.
What's
Fond
that
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Those Wisconsin fans.
Okay, they accept everything.
They're like, yay, team. Yay.
Pat you on the back.
Packers. Go, mm-hmm. back, go. I'm not saying you got to be that. But, you know, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with not crushing guys.
Yeah, and I didn't crush guys this year. And I told you this the other day. I think Doug Peterson actually did a better job this year than he did the Super Bowl year.
I don't, but that's okay.
I do. I think the adversity that he had to overcome this year and to get them where they got to, it was incredibly impressive what he did the Super Bowl year, obviously. And to put the RPOs in and go to Nick and go back to 27-2. A stroke of genius, matter of fact, with DeFilippo, Reich, and he. But that being said, I think what he overcame this year was far greater than what he overcame in the Super Bowl year. I think he evolved even more as a coach and a leader this year than ever before. To me, his stock even went up further, if that's possible, based on what he overcame.
I
mean,
listen,
this year.
I think he. I think the greatness. I think what he did this year that was really impressive was keep his team together.
Exactly.
Okay, so I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm. But he did the same thing last year when Wentz went down.
He did. Yep.
So,
but he had more injuries
this year. This year, it looked bleak, much more bleak for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought they got some good fortune down the stretch. I mean, you know, we called the Falls Magic.
Yeah.
You know, but the Bears beating the Vikings and...
Mm-hmm. But they put themselves in the position.
Couple bounces going their way.
Going out to L.A. and winning.
Yeah. I still think what he did the Super Bowl year was amazing.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I think he did a really good job. We said it. I think he did a great job as a general and being that guy. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm with you. I'm not really debating that with you.
For me, that would be like kind of splitting hairs. They were both good, but different.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, you win the Super Bowl, like... It's just outrageous.
I think every year that has passed, he just knows the man he is as a coach now more.
Okay. You know, I'll buy that.
Yeah. 610-632.
I'll buy that. But hold on. Before we get back to the phones, we got some people that we want to get to. The notion that there's this feeling that I sense. Now, I could be completely off my rocker, but I sensed like, all right, when can we bury these guys again? As though...
We want that
we
to happen.
We can't wait for it to happen.
You want it to happen so you can bury them. There is a portion of the fan base that feels more comfortable in the negative.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's their history.
Like, again, let's use Ben Simmons. Okay, let's go to Ben Simmons for a second. So, even if you're not a Simmons fan and you're frustrated by Ben when it comes to the shot, and look, you got every right to be frustrated by his lack of perimeter shooting. You also have to at least give it up that he's a dynamic player. That he'll have these moments of like pure dominance, whether it's the triple doubles, whether it's the what he can do as a facilitator, as a rebounder. You know, he's
rim.
A great facilitator. Like, you know, he really can do that. So when you look at it, even though he's got shortcomings, you got to at least know that there's like a kernel of greatness there that's waiting to pop into the popcorn, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the kernel. That's at least you got to go to that. Now, whether or not the kernel pops or it becomes a dud, I don't know, right? But you can't say he's a bum. Let's trade him. I don't understand that.
Well, I firmly believe this, Anthony, with every fiber of my being. It's a minority view of some fans, but there are some fans that deep down, they don't do it consciously. They root for failure so they can bitch. And it's about guys like Ben Simmons. It's sometimes about guys like even Joel Embiid, who's the beacon of stardom in this city. Where he's not down on the block, he's lazy, he shoots too many threes, and they just want to bitch about it. But that's today's society. You know, some people are just comfortable in wrapping themselves in negativity.
Yeah,
they live in that headspace.
You're right. Like, but again, if we're going to be honest with one another, like, listen, I love Simmons. I want him to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see the same shortcomings you guys do. I mean, obviously, he's got to be able to learn how to shoot. But the history of the league tells you that guy needs some years to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying you can't criticize, but sometimes it goes way overboard.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you can't wait for a guy to fail to show, oh, look at this.
Yeah. That's exactly
what
I'm talking
about. That's
kind of
what happened with the...
You verbalized it perfect.
With Wentz and Foles.
So there's a typical caller that you guys are talking about. His name's Vinny in West Philly. And if he's listening, I hope he calls in. He is the trade Ben Simmons captain. He's the leader of the trade Ben Simmons
stream. I've heard him. I heard him with Mike.
And he hasn't been on because Ben Simmons has been playing a nice stretch of 2-3 weeks of great basketball.
As soon as he falters, Andrew.
He will call in.
Boom.
Now he's also a trade Wentz guy, start Foles.
Right.
They lose to the Saints. I haven't heard from Vinny in West Philly. So I would love for him to call in to see if he's still feeling those ways.
You know, here's the problem is that because the way you couch it, he's going to say yes.
Mm.
Because he feels the need to defend and die with his post.
Yeah.
Die with his position.
Yeah, he's willing to die on that hill.
And that's the shame of it. My only point to this whole thing is we shouldn't want guys to fail.
We should want Wentz to be a top quarterback.
Like, we shouldn't. And I think most of us do.
The majority.
But even those who do, there's a part of them that can't wait to unload. There's no reason to be the soft. See, there's this bad connotation with just because you want your team to do well and root for your team that you're soft.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag because
right?
Some people go, he's not, they see him now and they go, he's not going to ever be good enough. And then they almost wish he is not so that their position was right from the get-go. See, I told you. You know what I mean? Like, I was totally wrong about Doug. Totally wrong. I had a half a student, not the whole thing. Totally wrong. And I'm delighted that I was wrong. Delighted.
Okay. Well, you're evolved, Jason.
Yeah. Well,
I'm proud of you.
Not many people say that.
I'm proud of you. the point is that, you know, positive, negative, it's changed. Now, you know, the idea of appreciation. Like, why was it Mike Schmidt appreciated?
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't he? Why was he booed just without mercy?
It's a good question.
Why was Ron Jaworski, right? Like, if you're, I don't know, I'm going to ask this question. If you're an older fan, let us know. But why was Jaws booed without mercy? All Ron Jaworski did was take a beating.
Oh, he was tough.
All right?
Oh.
He had a crap offensive line, and he just took a beating after a beating.
Mm-hmm.
He'd stand in there and get crushed.
Why was Ryan Howard crushed?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, why is that?
Yeah. We got to figure that out, because if we don't, we will never evolve. Because Ryan Howard was great.
Well, we need to figure out maybe, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's such a thing as being, you know, oh, too soft. I mean, I don't think we are. I don't think that, it's funny, holding the feet to the fire. That's what everybody says, right?
Yeah.
You got to hold their feet to the fire. Well, what does that mean? Right? The Eagles don't win. What does that mean? Does that mean you call for people's jobs? Even though you know that there's no way in hell that they're going to be replaced.
Yeah. You say the old saying was, we need a body. Somebody's got to answer for Santino. Right. The whole thing, right? 610-632-0975. Interesting discussion. Let's start it off with Mike in Jersey on the Fanatic. How you doing, Michael?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
so, I believe that the process has softened us up. And we're more acceptable to losing, knowing that the cause is going to be bigger. But as far as the Eagles go, the Super Bowl, you know, definitely helped with that, softening us up to be a more lighter fan base. But, man, that's not why Alshon Jeffrey got cheered, and that's not why Bayless got booed. It's we are an extremely smart fan base. We associate Bayless with Colangelo. We don't like Colangelo. That's why Bayless gets booed. He got $9 million. People shouldn't really care about it, but he wasn't worth $9 million, and we know it. Couldn't play a lick. Now, Alshon, man, by his body language, his facial expressions, he was crushed when he dropped that ball. He showed us he cared as much as we do, and that's why we treat Alshon Jeffrey the way we treated Alshon. Now, you can say we're soft. I say we're smart, and we have empathy, and we feel, and we love our players. And we want to let him know, yeah, dude, you dropped that ball. But you know what? We know 7 out of 10, you don't drop that ball.
Next year, 9 out of 10,
you're probably not going to drop that ball.
Right.
Now, he's going to come back next year. He's going to play for us. Other players, other places see that. They're like, wow, he just dropped the ball in the NFC Championship game, and he got a standing ovation.
Right.
That's because we're smart, man. We're a smart
fan. Yeah, I'm with you to some extent.
Yeah, but, Mike, why are people making their mind up on Ben Simmons already? Well, he hung up. But, you know,
I think he's right about, you know, why Alshon gets cheered.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the guy did it. He hurt like we hurt.
Yep. And what he gave us, playing through injury.
If Alshon was yucking it up on the sidelines, he would probably have gotten the wrath.
Mm-hmm. Like, Fletcher Cox got the wrath from you at one point because they got their rear end handed to him the 1 year. And then after the game, he's out there swapping.
Chip Kelly's last year.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
Yep.
Throwing 5 touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Fletch. Fletch got mad at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like, you can't smile while you're getting pummeled.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do that. The fan base. And I was trying to be like a big brother to him.
Yeah. Guy him.
Like, dude, like, that's the wrong. You're setting the wrong. Even though I know you feel like, damn, you don't want to lose. But when you're putting it out there, you're just setting people off.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're swapping jerseys and all that after the game. Like, that's not the time and place. No. Do that behind, you know, underneath the stadium.
Right.
Yo, Jameis, I'll meet you underneath. I want to swap jerseys with you. Don't do it where everybody can see after you just got dumped on.
Right.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook because they are offering a $500 risk-free bet to new users. Now, while the risk-free bet, it's amazing, it's only the beginning because FanDuel Sportsbook, they got tons of other awesome promos and they happen all the time. You can find odd boosts, bet insurance, special bonuses, and more on any given day. Plus, their new cash-out feature, that makes it easy to take your winnings early. And there's tons of sports to choose from on FanDuel, and they offer some of the most competitive lines around, like Kansas City, New Orleans this weekend. Big, big games. Who are you taking? Don't forget, you can place a $500 risk-free bet when you use my promo code Jason. So download the app to bet from anywhere in New Jersey, and you can sign up with my promo code Jason and make your first bet. And if you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll give you a refund insight credit up to $500. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and start winning today. You must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued to site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for the terms and conditions.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, jeez. Emotional intelligence.
We're just kind of going over great versus good versus very good versus
average.
Stank.
He's a bum. Yeah. He stinks. Trade him. Jeff Rowland stinks.
Funny, I think I got you with Giroux.
Well, I have these categories. I put great, very good. Good, average, below league average. And I'm trying to categorize our athletes.
Right. And then bum.
All right, let me throw a few at you and where you put them. Joel Embiid.
Great.
I have him there too.
He's a generational big man.
And to me, he's already great and can get even greater. Agree with that?
Yeah.
All right, let's stay with this.
He's generational. You can see it. I mean,
he's
dominating games.
He's a freak.
You know.
Yeah.
I know,
like,
fans
that doesn't
get tired
come along
when, you know, like, we'll throw around the word generational.
Mm.
Ben's not there yet. Ben's not generational yet. I think he has the ability to be that, but he's not there yet. And you can't be generational if you don't shoot.
He's not a finished product yet, so we don't know. But right now, you would categorize him as
very good.
Me too.
He's not great. He's very good.
Right, how about
he can be. I expect him to be great.
Yeah. How about Jimmy Butler?
Very good.
That's where I put him as well. How about Carson Wentz?
Well, you're looking at me, Andrews.
What do you think? He's great?
I would put Butler in the great category.
He's one of the better two-way players in the NBA.
Yeah, he is. That's very good.
Very good. But he's not, to me,
He's not great. To be great, he would have to be a lockdown, you know, shooter without, you know, with no limit to his range.
Yeah, but he's also the guy when there's closing seconds in the game, I have full confidence that he's going to hit the shot to win it.
Is he a top five player in the league?
No. And that's why.
Well, that's the great category.
Yeah, I know. When I think of great, I'm thinking of elite as another one. Like, I would put Embiid in elite and then a great category.
Okay, well, that's
not what I did. Yeah, I'm overthinking it.
And like, if he says, if you're going to go great, you got great, very good, good.
Great, very good, good.
I mean, you want to put elite, good. I don't really how you slice it. He's not at the top level, Butler.
Yeah, because KD's there. LeBron's there. Right. Steph Curry's
there. Embiid's there.
Embiid is there.
Jimmy's a notch below that. Not to say he's
borderline.
Not really good, and I love him, and I want him to stay.
James Harden's great.
He's not Harden or Westbrook or Joe, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be able to take over games every night. He don't do that every night.
Yeah, no, I hear that. But when you say James Harden, yeah, the guy can put up 50 whenever he wants, but then he can go to sleep on defense.
Okay, like, but dude,
he's a great player.
I get that. I'm saying, but Jimmy Butler can put up 25
he just put
to 30.
Back 50.
I know,
like,
he did.
Like, he's a 58, 13, 9.
Every night? Yeah, and what happened yesterday?
Dude, well, whatever.
They lost to the Nets.
Yeah, because Chris Paul's not playing.
Yeah, but he's still a great player. You can't look at the team success part of it because there's great players on teams. They're great, but just because the team doesn't have success doesn't mean that player's not great.
Bro.
Oh, I would take James Harden in a second.
Bro, he's awesome.
I'm just saying, in terms of all around, Jimmy Butler, close to great.
Like Iverson was great. He was. He was a great player.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Agreed.
What category would you put Carson Wentz into?
Very good.
On his way to greatness.
Yeah, I expect him to be great.
He's like Ben.
Yes. He's probably a little bit ahead of Ben.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a category in between those two, whatever. He's probably on par, I guess. I'm overthinking it too. No, but he's not at the top level yet.
Yeah, because of...
But I expect him to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a little bit of a setback. I think it was due to injury, but, you know, because he was good this year. He wasn't great this year.
Okay. What about a guy like Zach Ertz?
Well, he's a great tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a top three tight end in the league.
He broke the league record for reception.
So it's Kim, Kelsey, Gronk's about to retire. So, but that's what you're talking about. He is a great player. Now, tight ends... You know, they're not as elite. Well, they're not as
there's very few
pronounced as receiver or running back of the skill position.
Like Tony Gonzalez was great,
right?
For a solo,
no, Ertz is a great tight end, but tight end is behind running back and
receiver
on the flow chart of positions.
All right, let's talk about the guy that we've been talking about the last couple of days, Alshon Jeffrey. What category would you put him in?
Good.
That's exactly where I have him.
Because I think he's a good player.
He makes really good plays, but...
You count on him. He doesn't drop anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not an elite receiver.
Yeah.
But he's the next tier guy.
Yeah, like elite to me is Odell.
Yes.
Those guys. That's elite. You look at the guy in Houston.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
No.
Although Antonio Brown's a boo, but...
It doesn't matter. I mean,
he's still great talent.
So Odell.
There's a lot of bananas, yeah. The guys that are bananas that are receivers. You know, the diva receiver thing.
Yeah.
One more for you. Jason Kelsey.
Jason Kelsey? He would be good.
Yeah, that's where I have him too. Like, we're kind of on the same page.
He's a good. I mean, you know, definitely...
Like Lane Johnson is very good.
He's great.
Is he great?
Yes.
Really?
Lane Johnson's a great... right tackle.
Okay. And Jason
Peters
was.
Great tackle in football.
Okay.
Lane Johnson's an amazing player.
Very interesting. All right.
When he's at the top of his game, he's never on the ground.
Yeah.
And he is a beast. He's a great player.
Second half of this season, he was tremendous.
He's a great player.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. We'll give you a keyword a couple minutes to win $1,000. Let's go to Jack in South Philly on the phone. What's up, Jack?
Gentlemen, how are you? What's up, Anthony? Jack, Fifth and Dickinson, homie.
What's up, Jack? What's up, my brother?
Hey, so listen. So if you break the season down in a couple parts, in the beginning of the season, you know, we expected our team to go to the playoffs coming off the Super Bowl. So that's what we expected. And when they were playing like a blue waffle, we started booing and criticizing Carson Wentz. So we didn't get soft. Then we make it to the playoffs. So what do we expect it to do? And then you can't, we're smart enough to know we're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. So we were in there. Alshon gave us the chance. He dropped the pass. He never dropped the pass. So you got to give him a pass on that. I mean, is that making sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
It's understanding.
I think you're right.
But you also have to, hold on real quick, Nick, Jack. You got to consider the moment, though, too. That drop pass is of massive consequence if you're of the belief that they were going to go down and score and leave Drew Brees very little time.
I completely understand, but again, as the caller said a few back, he'll catch 99 out of 100. So, I mean, he'll never get a pass for that again if it happens. I mean, I think everybody understands that.
I agree with you, Jack.
So that's a one-time pass. Okay.
I agree with you. Let me ask you a question.
On the equity right. From the Super Bowl.
So, okay.
Because we're not coming
and doing
up
a regular season.
To win. Right. So go ahead, Nate.
I love that, Jack. It's so smart. And using the word equity, he had built up equity. You're right. All right. So, how old are you?
39.
Perfect. All right. So, your father, older brothers, you have any of them? Your dad or your older brother?
Yeah.
That are big sports fans. Now, are they easily? Are they really easy to criticize? And
yes, but they are also intelligent enough to know when to criticize. Like, Jason, you seem to be on the belief that nobody should have stood up and gave him a round of applause and we're getting soft for not booing and so on and so forth.
But I didn't say boo him. I just said I wouldn't have given him a round of applause.
But at the same time, I know you're a hockey fan. Nobody criticizes really Giroux and the Flyers.
What?
And they've been...
You may want to clean your ears, bro.
No, I mean, that's been happening recently, but... You know, come the playoff time, if they make it, last time they made it, did anybody boo Giroux for not having any points? Not really.
Well, he had 3 points in last year's playoffs, but...
He gets a pass every year. They all
what?
Get a pass every year.
So you think he gets anything, a pass?
If anything, you can say we're kind of leaning towards how the Flyers fans treat their players.
I think that's the thing of the past, though, Jack. Thanks for calling.
But you're talking about recent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the criticism has only really stepped up recently.
Yeah, last 2 years, I would say.
So I think that's what Jack's referring to.
Yeah. Prior to that, yeah, you're right. That was a fan base that was always way over understanding because of the mentality of the owner.
Listen,
all those years.
I was a part of that deal. Mm-hmm. Like I understood it.
Well, because to go to the Alshon point, like he hurt like we hurt, and they always felt like the owner hurt like the fans hurt.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But do you think that he gets a free pass?
Not anymore, but. He did.
Okay, but the reason why...
See, the problem is that...
His criticism was...
He's not on the same pantheon. It's the nature of the sport, and it's the nature of who he is in his sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's not a top 10 player in the game. He's not.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's not a top 10 player.
But he puts up numbers.
I'm not saying... Again, I think he's a very good player, but he's not a great player. He's not a top 10. Is he Austin Matthews?
No. He was in the top 10 for a number of years.
He doesn't take over games where those guys take over games.
He does. He goes ho-hum, 2 goals, and an assist, 2 goals.
Okay. I love the guy. I do. I really do like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do it enough. Like,
He's not a goal scorer.
Okay, well, you know, he's not a top 10 player in that league. He's not.
I agree with you. Not right now. He is not. Even though he was like top three in scoring.
I mean, you have guys, okay, but he didn't, you know.
He didn't have team success.
Okay, but there are guys that can take over games and have team success.
Well, obviously, he took over games. He had 102 points. Did you see what he did in the final game with the hat trick last year against the Rangers to get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I did.
You can't say he didn't take over a game.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
I know he's your boy.
No, it's not a question of him being my boy.
But he's not a top 10 player. You've already conceded he's not a top 10 player.
I agree with that.
So
yeah.
I know you love him.
Yeah.
But and I like him too. Like I'm not trying to hate on him.
Let's just look at his career.
I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's a great player.
When you look back at his career in a couple of years, 5 years, will you say he was a great Philadelphia Flyer?
I'll say he was a very good Philadelphia Flyer.
Okay. All right. But, and a lot of that does go to the lack of playoff success. I mean, they haven't won a round of the playoffs in years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's also on the GM to surround them with talent.
Okay. But he's still the guy on the team that hasn't done anything.
Yeah. So he carries that.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah, like, he's a scar.
It is a scar. It's a major scar.
Whatever you call it.
Along with the fact that he's more of a facilitator and less a goal scorer, you know, that's what keeps you from being great.
Yeah, there's players.
Hey, Bobby Clark, man. All right, so say what you want. He's not Bobby Clark.
No,
that's the ultimate facilitator, clutch player,
Hall of Famer.
Who would score? He was more of an assist guy, more of a playmaker, but he also scored big goals for you when you needed him.
Well,
so say what you want about whatever it is.
But there's only two guys.
He's not Bobby Clark.
No, I know. I agree.
Right, stop.
But Clark's a Hall of Famer.
He's only 16. Not 16.
There's only two guys in the organization.
16 was great.
Over 500 assists. And it's those two.
Okay, that's numbers. That's good.
No, I know, but numbers are how you get gold.
Okay, I know you love the guy, dude.
I'm just saying he's an underappreciated guy in this city because of the lack of team success.
And I wish I had somebody that felt that way about me.
Hold on a second. You can't sit there and criticize me for loving a guy when you lick Wentz's rear end and Ben Simmons' rear end. That ain't right.
Right.
So if you're going to call it.
See, here where he goes... Into the feeble-minded.
See, and then you go there.
Let's go into
the guy without a brain. The scarecrow. Blah blah blah.
Let's go into the gutter.
Let's get a keyword out.
He just said lick.
No, you kissed her butt like I kiss his butt. Then you're gonna call it
kiss. You said lick.
Well, you know what I meant.
Which is so just vile.
Okay, well,
that's what you do.
I didn't.
You go right into the gutter.
I didn't mean it literally. I meant it figuratively.
You're a possum.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.